الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدي أنهم سبلنا، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Before Ramadan, we were covering a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that essentially was a dua the Prophet ﷺ would make, and it was narrated to us by a Sahabi by the name of Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu. And we've been sort of covering bit by bit of this hadith. This is now the third session of this hadith, and so I just want to continue on with this hadith because I think there's so much value. Not only in learning this dua, but then also reflecting upon its meaning and the realities that are contained within it. So again, the dua was as follows, and actually there's different variations of this dua depending on which compilation of hadith, but the meaning is very similar. Allahumma bi'ilmika al-ghayba wa qudratika ala al-khalqi. First he calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness and his majesty and his power, and you may recall the first part of the hadith that he would ask for, the dua, was أحيني ما علمت الحياة خيرا لي وتوفني إذا علمت الوفاة خيرا لي. That, oh Allah, keep me alive in this world for as long as that is what is best for me, and take me away from this world if you know that that is what is best for me. Right? It was that balanced dua. Then the next dua that he made here, and he continues, وأسألك, and I ask of you, oh Allah, خشيتك في الغيب والشهادة. The fear of you, or the consciousness of you, both in the secrecy and in the public space as well. The ability to have true fear and consciousness of you. And so we covered this in the prior gatherings, and those are all available if you want to catch up on the recordings online. The next dua, the next portion of this dua, Prophet ﷺ says, وَكَلِمَةَ الْإِخْلَاصِ. So he's continuing, وَأَسْأَلُكَ. So I'm asking of you, وَكَلِمَةَ الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي الرِّضَى وَالْغَضَبِ. And another narration mentions, وَكَلِمَةَ الْحَقِّ فِي الرِّضَى وَالْغَضَبِ, which roughly translates as, oh Allah, I ask of you, I ask of you to make me true and sincere in my speech, both in times of contentment and in times of anger or frustration. Oh Allah, I ask that you make me true and sincere in my speech, both in times of contentment and in times of anger or frustration. Now, it's a very powerful dua, right? Because there's so many layers to it. There's so many layers to it. Look, the beauty of this hadith is the Prophet is making dua for things that I think you and I would not really think of. And it's so balanced in sort of this presentation in which he presents it to Allah. You know, first is, you know, oh Allah, you know, keep me alive for as long as that is what is best for me. We talked about this at length before. What an amazing dua. And take me away if you know that's what's best for me. Amazing how he just puts it in Allah's court. And then he moves on to say, oh Allah, I ask that you grant me the tawfiq, the ability to fear you both in privacy and in the public space. Right? I mean, incredible, this sort of balance that he's highlighting. Like, you and I wouldn't think about that. We may think about one or the other. Prophet is like asking Allah for this and reminding us to do the same. And then he enters into the space of, oh Allah, grant me the ability, or I ask from you the ability to have speech that is true and sincere, both in times of contentment or happiness and ease, and in times of anger or frustration, or moments of anger and frustration. Now, what's the premise here, right? The first is that, look, the human being, we exist in different states, and sometimes you'll toggle between these two states. We know, for instance, contentment, ease, and trial and tribulation. Those are the two states that may exist at any given point in time. There may be other phases as well. And here the Prophet is highlighting that we often, when it comes to our interactions with Allah and other people, we find ourselves toggling between these two states, which is when we're content and happy. Let's say, we can put it this way, where our blood pressure is normal, right? Where our heart rate is at a normal rate, and والغضب, when our heart rate and our blood pressure are elevated, meaning anger or frustration. And what he's saying here is, ask, oh Allah, I ask from you the ability to, you can say, maintain my composure. When it comes to what comes from my tongue, or I guess in this day and age, the speech that I produce, whether it's written or verbal, I ask for you the ability from you, the ability to maintain my composure, both when it's easy for me to do so, i.e. when I'm happy, content, my blood pressure is normal, I'm not under stress, and when I am under stress, and I am angry, and I am frustrated, or I'm under some pressure, or under the pressure cooker. So we always find ourselves in one of these two states. Now, Prophet was teaching us, as he's making this dua to Allah, that regardless of the state that I find myself in, whatever I find myself in, I have to ensure that whatever comes from my tongue, or again, speech that comes from my thumbs when I'm texting or I'm messaging, whatever I produce from this, I have to maintain composure at all times. And whatever comes out should be either true and it should be true and filled with sincerity. True and filled with sincerity. Now, when I'm content, let's say my blood pressure is normal, I'm not under stress, this is a relatively manageable thing, right? I speak positive words, I tend to compliment other people, I'm not necessarily disparaging others or speaking or looking down upon others. But when I'm under stress or I'm in a heated argument or I'm seeing something that's emotionally overwhelming for me on TV or on the news or on the internet or on my phone, that's or in a conversation with, let's say, a loved one or a family member or my spouse, that's when it's very difficult to maintain true and sincere speech. That's when it's very difficult. So what are the different layers to this, right? Let's just take a step back here. What are the layers to this? What are the layers of me maintaining proper kalam and proper speech? What are the layers? The first, of course, is in my communication with Allah. The first is in my communication with Allah. And you and I might say, well, when do I ever really lash out at Allah? I don't, for the most part. When am I sending a text message against Allah? Probably not happening. But this particularly applies to when we're under some difficulty or trial. Sometimes we have a tendency to complain to Allah about the situation. And that's the first layer of this. The first layer is to maintain myself, right? Firidah and an ghadab. That some difficulty comes upon me, and that fills me and overwhelms me with emotion. That's anger, frustration, sometimes jealousy, sometimes this, again, heart rate, blood pressure go up, things like that. The first layer of this is to make sure that I hold my composure during trial and tribulation, and I don't complain about Allah to Allah, or I don't complain to Allah about the situation, right? It's different when I'm under stress, and I raise my hands and I ask Allah, oh Allah, this is very difficult. That's not a complaint. That's an acknowledgement of reality. Oh Allah, you know what I'm going through. That's an acknowledgement of a reality. That's not a complaint. But the moment I begin to verbalize, either to Allah or to other people about Allah, why is this happening to me? Why, oh God, or why Allah, are you doing this to me? That is where the problem arises. So the Prophet ﷺ is reminding us that, yes, I mean, be mindful of this. And, O Allah, I ask from you that when things are going well, and when things are maybe not going so well for me, the ability to maintain both sincere speech and true speech. That's the first layer. Another layer of this is when we're interacting with people one-on-one, or interacting with people face-to-face. And this becomes a very challenging situation for us. Right? Because, yeah, when things are going well, no one's screaming or yelling or shouting at us. No one's accusing us of doing something wrong. And it's just sort of comfortable, like right now in this moment, right? That sort of serenity that everyone sort of feels. It's unlikely that anyone's going to lash out. But being able to maintain composure when I'm in an argument, or when my spouse says something to me that I didn't want to hear, my child gets upset with me, my parent gets upset with me, someone speaks out on the mic, right, and they say something that's inappropriate, or I read something, let's say online, that really gets my blood boiling. Someone sends me a message, and I'm like, "What in the world are you thinking? Do you realize what I just said? Do you realize who I am?" And then in those moments, I then lash out at people. That is where that in particular is where we have to be extra careful. And the Prophet is telling us that this is something we should ask from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala as well. Be mindful and of holding back, swearing, cursing, negativity, lying face to face, in front of one another, being very careful about these things as well. That, oh Allah, I ask for the ability to maintain myself in my speech, right? Speech meaning verbal, written, textual, whatever it may be. Oh Allah, I ask that you allow me to maintain myself, right? And be able to only say those things that are absolutely true when I'm under this sort of a stressful situation. So that's another layer. One is against Allah. Another layer is against, you know, people face to face when I'm facing them. And then another is behind their back. Behind their back. You know, and of course we know this. We're taught from when we're 5 years old that backbiting is haram, right? And we teach our children not to do this. But how mindful are we of this? How mindful are we of this? Yes, when someone is doing good to us, and when someone is, let's say, doing us favors, yeah, of course, we're going to say positive things about them. But the moment we begin to hear something negative about someone else, it's very easy for us to want to speak out against them. It's very easy to do so. But that's not the prophetic example, right? That's not the prophetic example. The prophetic example is that we don't, in any circumstance, speak negatively about anyone behind their back when they don't know about it. That we don't ever take that chance. I mean, in particular, for someone who's seeking Allah, someone who's seeking a higher station with Allah, one of the most treacherous things that we can do is that we speak ill about someone behind their back, even if that's true. And this is established from Quran and from Hadith as well. Now, let me bring this Hadith in a bit more context for all of us in this dua. Because I think in this day and age, you know, one is maintaining composure during an argument. Really tough to do. Really tough to do. But the Prophet says, make sure you maintain this. But in this day and age, you know, sometimes it's a sticky path. We live in a time and in a place where we're very conscious of the reaction of other people. And that is what determines what's going to come out of my mouth or out of my thumbs. Right? Meaning, verbally, there's one discussion. But so much of the fitna of speech that's occurring today that falls under this category of I need to ask from Allah for support in this regard isn't what comes out of my tongue. In fact, most of us don't like to pick up the phone and call anymore. It's what comes in written speech, right? That means messages that I'm posting online or on my Facebook page or on Twitter or Instagram or text messages that I'm sharing or group messages that I'm sort of... And this is where most of us are falling prey in this day and age. Most of us are falling prey in this day and age. And, you know, the reason is because now we're very sensitive to the reactions of other people. We're very sensitive. If I say something, what the first thing I think about is what's the reaction that people are going to have? In the sense of, am I going to get more likes because if I say this? Or am I going to get more views if I actually share this or I post this? And the risk is that we look at that rather than look at the reality of the statement that's being made. Is what I'm about to share or I'm about to say, is it true? Is it sincere? Is whatever is contained within it absolutely certain? Or am I saying this in the context of what are other people going to say or how are they going to react? When my first concern, whenever I post anything or I share anything or I message anything out, should be how is my Allah going to react if I put this out? What's he going to think about this? Rather than think, what's the reaction of people, my first concern should be, what's the reaction of Allah in this regard? If I put this out, what's the reaction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to have with me? And this is something that we often are not as mindful about. We think, you know, if I say this, if I write this, if I type this, who will get excited about this? What sort of attention will fall upon me? What sorts of likes will I get? And we see this very commonly today. I mean, 95% of the speech that's available online, it's driven by the potential reaction that can occur from it, rather than the truth or reality that's contained within it. You know, this is the reality of podcasters in this day and age, or TikTokers in this day and age. Yes, everyone starts off with a pure intention that I want to do this for the sake of bettering humanity or bettering society or you know, sharing some positive speech. But inevitably, most people, almost everyone falls into the same trap, which is, well, no one cares about the reality and truth, so now let me, you know, adjust it a little bit or tweak it a little bit or stretch it a little bit. Why? Because now I realize this is going to garner more attention. Now I'm going to put a thumbnail that attracts a lot more attention than just the pure truth that otherwise I could have shared. Now if I make the statement in this way, this will create a certain degree of rage within the hearts of the people that are listening, and that rage is going to drive my viewership. And that's what I need to do. And that's a very, and all of us have this nature, because the nature of a human being is to crave the attention of others, even if it is at the expense of the ill speech that I end up producing as a result of it. Even if it's at the expense of something evil that I may be sharing, and I don't realize it until much later. And this is something we should be very sensitive to, right? Otherwise said, opinions in this day and age have a lot of monetary value. Or they have some alternative value. Sometimes it's monetary. If I say this, or if I share this, even if I don't believe it, or even if I know the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't agree with the statement, but if I put it out here and I make it known, there's some benefit that comes to me from it, in the form of revenue, in the form of attention, in the form of some other climb that I may potentially make. And this is the state of every human being goes through this, especially when there's some attention that's falling upon us. And this is something we have to be very careful about, because the Prophet ﷺ in every circumstance taught us, whether things are going well or we're under stress or whatever other circumstance we may find ourselves in, that I have to maintain sincere and pure in speech that's always on the haq. And I have to be very careful of this, right? And this, you know, in this day and age, everyone's wanting to know what your opinion is, and everyone's wanting to share their opinion on everything. Right? What do you think about this? What is your reaction? Do you see what happened here? What do you think about this? What's your reaction? What's your response? And again, many of us are just falsely generating this, because after we then generate that response, we want to see, did anybody see what I just said? But that's not sincerity in speech. Sincerity in speech is, I speak when I need to speak. Sincerity in speech is, I speak because it is what's good for myself and for the people around me. And most importantly, sincerity in speech is, I only share those things that I know in this moment I'm receiving reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And that's something that we all should be very mindful of, right? This is why the Prophet ﷺ, you know, in a beautiful hadith, I think it's so applicable in this day and age, more than ever before, because our kalam, our speech is so amplified today. You could reach a handful of people before, 100 people sitting in front of you, and now with the same measure, I can reach millions of people in just a moment. So things are so amplified today, which makes it more important to follow this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, when he said, "Man samata naja." Man samata naja. Whoever stays silent is saved. Whoever stays silent is saved. Amazing. Now, yes, we've always learned this hadith, and you can say contextually, it's referred to keeping your mouth shut verbally, not saying anything. But you and I know in this day and age, there's far more text coming from our thumbs and from our fingers than from our tongues. But this hadith is just as applicable here. Just as applicable here. Not just in terms of physical text, but even in terms of my opinion. I mean, we don't always have to have an opinion on every single thing. It is acceptable, in fact, it's probably preferable to hold back. To hold back. I don't have to have an opinion on everything. Just because everyone and their mother wants to make some claim or state something so that the world can hear, and they're screaming and shouting in chaos about every single thing that's happening, and then now everyone's expecting, you know, me to throw in my opinion. Man salmata naja. You know what? I actually don't have an opinion. I don't know. What I know is very limited. I can tell the skin tone on my fingers. I know if my stomach is hurting at this moment or not. I know I can see the faces that are right before me. I have some information about what's underneath my roof in my house. But that's about it. I don't know what's happening halfway across the world. I'm not physically there. Yes, I'm hearing reports from others, but I'm not physically there. I don't know what's happening halfway across the country or some, you know, village in Texas. I don't know. I don't know what's happening in my next door neighbor's house for that matter. How is it that I feel so comfortable freely sharing my opinion on every single thing and having a reaction to every single thing when the reality is I don't know. I'm not Allah. Allah is all seeing. Allah is all hearing. And if you want an opinion on something, ask Allah. I don't know. I can't comment on something. I have very, very limited ability to do so. My five senses can pick up just what's in front of me. And my brain cognitively begins to think that maybe I know a lot more. Maybe I can interpret based off of what... We have very limited knowledge in things. And 95% opinions that we ever share in our life, maybe I'm exaggerating, but so many opinions as a person goes through life, what I've noticed is as a person becomes a bit more senior in age, they tend to realize that the things that they thought before were not actually true. than the opinions they had held before. They realize there's actually a bit more flexibility that's needed here, right? Because we don't know the reality of what's happening behind closed doors. We don't know the reality that's happening in people's homes. We don't know the reality that's happening under people's under the roofs of others. We don't know the reality that's happening in people's hearts. So who am I to have to always share an opinion? Why can't I just follow the example of the Prophet or the statement of the Prophet when he said, "Man samata naja"? You know what? I don't know. What's your thought? I don't know. I just don't know. So although the translation of this hadith is whoever is silent is saved, contextually today, whoever holds back their opinion is saved. Whoever holds back their opinion is saved. So this is really important. And, you know, sometimes we're under pressure. Like the Prophet says, ghadab, frustration, anger, forces us to share our opinion. Sometimes there's an opportunity for us to gain something or garner something. So then we share that opinion. We feel obligated to sort of fill in the gaps. But the Prophet asked for this from Allah. That, "Oh Allah, I ask from you the ability to have speech that is," again, one narration says, al-haq. It's true speech. Like it's, you can say, speech that you can say represents the speech of Allah and the Prophet. Because that's what I am. Or sincere speech that's coming purely from the desire in my heart for the betterment of myself and for others. And anything beyond that, I don't need to share. And he says, "Fir rida and ghadab," both when things are easy for me, but in particular when I'm under pressure. So this is such a layered hadith because I've literally gone through multiple layers of this hadith, but I think it's so applicable for us in this day and age, right? The first, let's sort of summarize things. The first summary point is that inevitably, we're in a state of either comfort and contentment, or let's say frustrated and in toil. But our responses, whether they're verbal or they're written, should always be measured. Should always be measured. We should be very mindful of this. You know, there's something in psychology, they call it the theory of emotional hijacking. And what happens there is that when someone is under stress, let's say they get into an argument or their spouse or their wife or husband does something to them, or their child, or let's say their boss says or does something, it creates this sort of angered state within them. The amygdala becomes very active in the brain. And what happens is that when that takes over, it makes the other parts of our brain that allow us to think rationally about things and about the consequences of the speech that I produce, those all become subdued and suppressed. So now whatever I end up communicating at that point is purely driven by emotion. And they call it emotional hijacking because I end up saying things to a loved one or to a spouse or to a child or to a parent or to a friend or something online that I inevitably end up regretting later. Inevitably end up regretting later. This is directly linked to the hadith of the Prophet. Just give me the ability to speak what is true and correct and appropriate in every circumstance, both when I'm content, but in particular when I'm angry and I'm frustrated, when my blood pressure and my heart rate are up. Give me the ability to hold my composure and protect me from being emotionally hijacked so that I end up saying things to my spouse, to my parent, to my child, to my boss, to my friend, to some message online, and I end up having to regret it and apologizing for it later. Or potentially completely tarnishing a relationship altogether. It happens. A couple of words come out of my tongue when I'm emotionally hijacked, my blood pressure is elevated, and what? For 2 weeks I break a relationship and I have to figure out a way to mend it, sometimes in the way of a gift, sometimes flowers, and sometimes this time. And the Prophet was saying, be careful. And in this situation, practically for us, right? Practical here, samata najat, just stay quiet. Wait till that sort of elevated rush that's going through my body levels out. Once it calms down, and the cortex of my brain that's actually responsible for making rational decisions can then be reactivated, and then an hour or 2 hours later, let me say something. Someone sends a message that really upsets me. First of all, I shouldn't be responding instantaneously anyway. That's impulsive. But give it some time. Give it an hour. Give it 2 hours. Give it a day. See how you feel. Wait till that everything's calmed down, and then make your reaction and make your response. The Prophet is teaching us the way to sort of emotionally, intelligently behave with others. So that's take home number one. Take home number two is that in general in life, especially in this day and age, if I have to choose between sharing my opinion and holding back on sharing my opinion, consider that the latter option may be better for me. Consider that the latter option may be better for me. Now, it's different, you know, your child comes to you and says, you know, Baba, should I wear a red shirt or a blue shirt? Yeah, I mean, give an opinion, right? Hey, what do you want for dinner tonight? I don't know. I mean, that'll destroy the relationship also, right? But I'm not talking about simple things like this. I'm talking about complicated matters that really I don't have the knowledge that Allah has for me to be able to provide a legitimate opinion on. That usually involves things outside of the confines of my home. Yes, if a friend calls me and says, give me advice, I think that's different, right? If it's, what's your opinion and what's happening, it doesn't affect me, it doesn't affect you, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say about it. That's where the danger arises. So in that situation, it's completely reasonable to say, I don't know. And in fact, it's perhaps preferable. Because the only certainty, I mean, look at this, the only true reality and the only true speech is the speech of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything else is open to interpretation, and it's very subjective, right? The only truth that really exists is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Anything beyond that is open to interpretation and suggestion. The third take home is that the ability for me to be able to control my speech, and I'm saying this broadly, this must be sought from Allah. This must be sought from Allah. How do we know this? This is a dua the Prophet is making directly to Allah. And it's shared to us by a sahabi. So yes, although I have to work on myself, and I have to be able to maintain my composure, and I have to be able to know never to complain to Allah, etc., etc. But ultimately, it requires me to raise my hands before Allah and say, oh Allah, I ask from you, the way the Prophet did, I ask of you, كَلِمَةَ الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي الرِّضَى وَالْغَضَبِ or كَلِمَةَ الْحَقِّ فِي الرِّضَى وَالْغَضَبِ. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq, the ability to be able to control myself and not have to spit out and share things that are unnecessary. Not have to always feel the need to have to react and respond because everyone else is so reactionary in this day and age. To not always and in particular, for me to be able to maintain my composure when I'm in some stressful argument or some stressful situation or some stressful debate where I end up saying things that inevitably I will regret because it will ruin my relationship with the person I'm interacting with. Oh Allah, I ask that you give me the tawfiq to do so, because the Prophet ﷺ taught us to ask this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So, very lengthy dua, right? But we're learning the types of things the Prophet ﷺ asked from Allah for. It's not something that you and I would just come up with on our own. It's very difficult. So we're so fortunate that we have this from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah we'll continue this dua in the next gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to recognize what is positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to maintain a true speech at all times that represents the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the verses and the Quran. At all times, both in times of comfort and in times of anger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow whatever we produce from our tongues to be in service of Him. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.